I don't know about you, but the only time I use the contraction tis is this time of year. But just what season it tisn't. Toyota says tis the season for buying cars. AT&T says tis the season for the new iPhone XS. Nope, tis the season for doing. Do shopping, do decorating, do baking, do traveling, do visiting, and more. Everyone agrees on that, don't they? Well, who does not describe this time of year in terms of what they have to do, have done, or will do? What will you do this Christmas? What did you do for Christmas? The standard story arc of Christmas movies is that the main characters have to do something or Christmas will be ruined. 'Tis the season for doing, even in churches. Especially for churches who observe Advent in the traditional way as a season of repentance rather than the new way of hope. This is not a confessional, non-confessional Lutheran difference because there is no, thus says the Lord, observe Advent as a season of penitence. There isn't even a divine command to have Advent at all. That being said, most churches, if they use paraments, have the blue of hope rather than the purple of repentance. It's amazing to me how rapidly that change happened. 30 years. But then again, who wouldn't rather do hope than do repentance? And there is a lot to be done. Do fruit in keeping with repentance, thunders John the Baptist. Do not think that you can be children of God based on your parents being Christians. You must do fruits worthy of repentance of a child of God. John preaches. And what does that mean? Do works of charity for those in need. Do honest business dealings. Do noble public service. 'Tis the season for doing, doing, do. Do, do, do to all till you find you can never get it all done. I don't know about you, but my most frequent nightmare is not being chased or falling. It's having done something terrible or having failed to do something on time. That tells me that while I think the problem is all the doing required of me on the outside, the real problem is me. Paul Revere and the Raiders were right in their 1966 song, "No Matter What You Do, You'll Never Run Away From You." And so Advent turns into the nightmare before Christmas. An axe is drawn back and aimed at the trunks of my legs, and another 60 songs plays. Fire, you're gonna burn as I'm cast into the unquenchable fire. If I fail to do, axe and fire will do what they do. 'Tis the season for doing, and 'tis the season for being done. John the Baptizer doesn't just preach do, 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 he preaches done. He says, one more powerful than him, or you, or even Santa, come. Netflix Christmas Chronicle takes the gloves off. The guy in the red suit claims omniscience, omnipotence, and he makes a plausible case for omnipresence. Now don't get me wrong, it's your typical secular Christmas story. It's delightful in many ways. And has the typical doing requirement to make Christmas happen. But in the end, it's Saint Nick who is strong enough to get her done. But Saint Nick, 'tis not the answer to my nightmares of the axe heading for my legs or the fire burning. Jesus is. Jesus is the one powerful enough to stamp done on all your to-do list. He really did it all. A staple of children's books is the big mess that needs to be cleaned up before the parents get home. In The Cat in the Hat, the house is wrecked by Thing One and Thing Two, but the cat has a machine that's miraculously able to do everything just before Mom gets home. Scrooge wakes up, and this time the miracle's in his heart to do the right thing for Christmas. Rudolph does what no one else can. All these stories know that something needs doing that is beyond ordinary human ability. All my nightmares point to something that must be done by me, that is impossible for me to do. All these foreshadow that one more powerful than I or you must do what we can't. Jesus does it all. He descends into the human womb to pick up our flesh and blood, and from then on, it's him for me and for you. From then on, he does everything humans are required to do. He does infancy, childhood, tween, teen, and adult to perfection. See the wreck that is your life because of your sins. See how you have stained your body and soul with your lusts, your worries, your fears, your self-centeredness, your unbelief. You can't do the cleaning, the washing, the wiping, the ordering before the judgment, before the judge himself walks through the door. But Jesus can, and he does. He picks up, he cleans up, he wipes up, and he washes up, so that not even a white-gloved inspector can find one jot or tittle out of place. And then, well, you know what happens next. His father takes the axe meant for your legs, and he chops Jesus off from his family and friends and throws him into the hellfires of judgment to suffer and burn. And while you and I may scream because of something we did or didn't do or done to us in a dream, Jesus isn't dreaming when he screams, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the only why question that God does answer. The Father abandons the Son, drops him into hellfire, so as not to drop you there. But Jesus doesn't stay there. No, he, by suffering the hell for you and I and all people, quenches the unquenchable fires of God's wrath against sinners. To prove this, God the Father raises the Son on Easter, and the only begotten Son of God, born of Mary, ascends in flesh and blood to do the impossible. As a man, he pours out the Holy Spirit upon all humanity. He puts the Holy Spirit in the mouths of men to forgive sins. He puts the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism to wash, rebirth, and regenerate sinners. And he puts the Spirit in bread and wine, for where his body and blood are present, there must certainly be his Spirit too. And wherever the Spirit is present, no more do sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. But rather, his blessings flow far as the curse is found. But Jesus does one last thing in that text. He not only gathers his people to himself, but he burns those who reject him. But let's not finish on that note. Because while Advent is the season for doing, and tis the season for done, tis also the season for the rose. That's why the pink candle is lit this Sunday. In fact, rose-colored pyramids were appointed for this Sunday, when it was an island of joy in a season of sorrow. The white joy of who Jesus is, God in flesh and blood, and what he came to do, redeem us from sin, death, and the devil, the white joy of who Jesus is and what he did bled into the purple of penitence, producing a rose color. Prior to the 1982 hymnal, Lutheran Worship, and blue taking over the purple, this third Sunday was not John the Baptist Sunday. Its theme was joy. The introit began with the first words of the epistle reading, "Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice." And the collect, the ancient Latin one, unlike our present one, which focuses on what we do, know thy salvation and serve you, it focused on what Jesus does. Give ear to our prayers and lighten the darkness of our hearts by thy gracious visitation. The third Sunday in Advent originally expressed Anne Murray's sentiment. We sure could use a little good news today. Today the thought is like Nehemiah. He preached, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." But if joy in Jesus is one more thing you must do, well, it can't be your strength. It's the Lord rejoicing over you. That's your strength. That lightens your darkness. Isaiah 65 says, the Lord rejoicing and taking delight when he comes, that's what quiets weeping and dries tears. Today is a day for the joy of the hunt. Now, this may not be much of an illustration to some of you, but let's try. The root sense of the word jubilation is the exultant hunting call. Early on, writers of the Christian era borrowed it in the sense to rejoice in the Lord as a hunter in his quarry. Now, if you're not a hunter, you might not get that a joyous hunting call is not, I get to shoot that, or I get to kill that. No, it's the joy of at last, there it is. There, at last in Jesus, is the answer to my sin and sinfulness. There, at last in Jesus, is light for my darkness, filling for my emptiness, and there, at last, is being done rather than more do, do, do. Today is not only a season, a joyous cry of the successful hunt, there it is. 'Tis also the season of the halo. And this takes us back to that scariest part in the text. The threshing floor where the wheat is gathered and the chaff is burned. But this place of terror can be one of great joy. How so? Well, the Greek word for threshing floor is halos. From halos, we get halos, which for forgiven sinners, for Christ's sake, wear as an indication of their holiness that they have in him. So what's the connection between the threshing floor and a halo? Well, the dust of the threshing floor hanging in the air diffuses the sun's rays, creating a halo around everything. The blood, the sweat, and the tears of Jesus that springs from the threshing that he received in his passion and crucifixion, they hang in the air to cast halos around you. 'Tis the season for the rose. Our last hymn is from the 2006 hymnal because it keeps the translation rose. The Lutheran hymnal has "Behold a branch, not a rose is blooming." Now that's an accurate translation because in the original German, Ein Ross equals Old German Ein Reis, which is a shoot, an offshoot, or a sprig, and not necessarily a rose, Ein Rose. In the 1599 original, the rose was a reference to Mary, and the hymn was sung in honor of Mary. The second verse of that version says, "The rose is the pure Virgin Mary." Now that was changed already in the 19th century to shift the emphasis to where it belongs, to Christ. Why? Because Mary is not the reason for the season. And Jesus, in the words of the hymn, is the flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air, dispelling with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. 'Tis the season to step into the light and breathe deeply. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.